Lord God, let what we speak today, what I speak today, be your words, not my words. And Lord God, may it take root in our heart and bring fruit in our lives. We ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, let's go eat some crawfish. What do you say? It's hard to preach when I'm thinking about crawfish, you know what I'm saying? And pizza and everything else. We're on our third message of our series, Need a Fresh Start. How many of y'all are ready for a fresh start in some areas in your life? Ready to do God to do something new? You know, Jesus said in John 11, we're going to talk about that today. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. And though a man be dead, yet shall he live again. How many of you know there's always a chance for God to breathe new life into your life? How many of you know that? You know, we have a saying in our realm, in our circle of pastors in the ark, and our saying is this, that Jesus is here and anything can happen. Isn't that cool? Isn't it cool that you can come to church and have an expectation of something other than what you normally have at church, that when the presence of God is at church, guess what? Anything can happen, can take place. The dynamic of something new can happen anytime. Isn't that awesome? How many of y'all, I don't like routine a whole lot. How many of y'all don't like routine a whole lot? I mean, some of us are routine people. I'm not a routine person. God's, you know, there's two types of people in the world. I figured this out. Ones that God has to say, tighten up. I'm one of the people that God has to say, tighten up. And the second type is you need to loosen up. How many of y'all know that most people that God has to say need to tighten up are married to people that need to loosen up? Huh? Isn't that true? Come on, look at you. If your husband or wife is one of those, say, loosen up a little bit. Enjoy life. You know, here's the deal. Some of y'all were invited and came today. Some of y'all showed up. You know, there are no accidents in God's will. You know, people often tell me, I don't understand how people as Christians can say, hey, we got lucky. No, you didn't get lucky. You got blessed. We serve a God of purpose, not only a God of purpose, a God of own purpose. Everything that happens, it's His will that it happens when we're in His will, right? You're here today because God determined for you to be here. I don't know what circumstance led you to be here. All I know is that God ordained it. And today, we need to understand that you're here because God wants to do something new in your life. You say, well, Pastor, I got it going on. I don't need anything new in my life. I guarantee you got something that God needs to do something new in your life, right? Look at John 11, 38 through 44. We're going to talk about Lazarus today. How many know that God did something new in Lazarus? In verse 38, it says, we're going to read through verse 44. It says, Jesus once more deeply moved. Underline deeply moved. How many know that God is concerned about your situation? As a matter of fact, He cares and He's moved by it. We serve a God who's deeply moved by what we're going through. We serve a God who cares about what we're going through. And how many know that God is deeply moved to a point where He is desiring to move in your situation? He's desiring to act according to what you're going through. He cares. He's deeply moved. He said he came to the tomb, and it was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. Take away the stone, he said. But Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man, by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there for 4 days. I want you to get the scenario here. Lazarus has been dead for 4 days. I read the whole scripture from 11 to 44. It says, it mentioned 5 times that Lazarus was dead. And it mentioned twice that he'd been dead for 4 days. In other words, it was hopeless. It's over. It's done. He's smelling. There's no chance. It's over. 5 times he's dead. 2 times he's been dead for 4 days. How many know that when that happens, as a matter of fact, Martha had relegated herself to the fact that Lazarus was dead. She couldn't see past that. Because when Jesus was talking to her about being the resurrection and the life, she says, yeah, Lord, I believe you're the Messiah. He said, no, you don't get it. I'm the resurrection and the life. I'm on the scene, and I'm about to turn things around. Come on. Sometimes we get so stuck in our circumstance that we can't see past our circumstance. We have relegated ourselves to what happened. Matter of fact, he's dead. It's over with. The stone's over the cave, over the burial. It's over, God. She said, Lord, but he's been there for 4 days. Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? So they took the stone away, and Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you've heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of those standing around here, that they may believe that you sent me. And when he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. And the dead man came out, his hands and his feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go. Wow. One of the best stories in the whole Bible. Remember this, that no matter what your situation, you may have just come to the conclusion, you know what? It's over. It's over. If somebody comes to you and says, look, brother, God can come. You said, yeah, I know he can come. But you know what? This situation, it's done. Can I just tell you, it's not done. Because when Jesus is on the scene, anything can happen. Amen? Do you believe that? That's the key. Do you believe that? You know, there are four things that I got out of this scripture that we're going to look at. Remember this. 5 times they said, Lazarus is dead. 2 times he's been there 4 days. How many know it was over in the natural? But how many know that God specializes in resurrection? Amen? 4 things that you need to understand from this scripture that we're going to read. We're going to read excerpts from John chapter 11. The first thing you're going to have to realize is that you're going to go through tough times. You're going to go through tough times. How many of y'all can relate to that? You're going to go through hard times. Hard, incomprehensible, unfathomable, over your head, overwhelmed, stretched beyond your ability to take care of it with your resources. It's beyond you. You're going to have times in your life where you're going to be overwhelmed. Say, Pastor, that doesn't sound like good news to me. Well, the good news is that no matter how overwhelmed you are, things that are over your head are under God's feet. That God is bigger than everything that you're going through. Over your head. Matter of fact, you know what? I've just learned that when you live the faith life, you're going to live a life over your head. Why does God put you in those situations? Because he wants to teach you how to live dependent on him. He wants to teach you how to live in another realm. He wants to teach you how to live beyond what you see, smell, taste, feel, and hear, beyond your limitedness, and begin to tap into his unlimitedness. Because God is bigger. When I'm overwhelmed, I've learned that I've got to tap into his strength. I've got to tap into his power. I've got to run to him. So we're going to go through tough times. That's not good news. That's just the truth. You're going to go through tough times. But you need to understand that our hopeless situation is God's opportunity. Our hopeless situation is God's opportunity. Matter of fact, look at John 11, verses 11 through 14. Here, I want you to see how Jesus looks at your impossible situations. After he had said this, he went on to tell them, this is Jesus. He said, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, I'm going to go wake him up. Come on. His disciples replied, Lord, if he sleeps, he'll get better. Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So he told them plainly, Lazarus is dead. What we see as dead, Jesus sees as asleep. How many know that death has to come under the life of Jesus? I love that, don't you? Our friend, Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going to go wake him up. Wow. You know what? You may have a situation where you just, it's over. Jesus doesn't see it that way. Matter of fact, the Bible said that when he died on the cross, that he took the keys of death, hell, and the grave. Do you know your greatest enemy as a human being is death, hell, and the grave? But Jesus won the victory at Calvary over death, hell, and the grave. The things that we fear the most, Jesus has no fear of. There is no enemy to our humanness that Jesus didn't defeat at Calvary. 1 Corinthians 15:55 says, where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? Revelation 1:18 says, I am the living one. I was dead, and now, look, I am alive forevermore. And I hold the keys of death and Hades. This is Jesus' talk. When we go through hard times, understand that nothing that we're going through can overcome Jesus. Nothing. Our ultimate enemy, our arch nemesis, death, hell, and the grave, Jesus had victory over. He has victory over right now. So you're going to go through hard times. Number two, the second thing you need to understand is our most horrible times is when Jesus shines. I have learned some of the most beautiful things in my life came as a result of the most horrible thing that ever happened to me. Can I say that again? Some of the most beautiful things in my life that I've had to go through have been produced in the most horrible situations I've ever had to go through. That's why I can smile today that no matter what I go through, that all things are working. That song said all things are working for our good. Doesn't mean everything we go through is good, does it? How many of y'all, back in the day when they made cake, I mean, now all you do is add water, right? You got cake. Put it in the microwave, you got cake. Yeah, microwave. That's how I cook cake. Anyway, it doesn't turn out so hot. Don't talk while the pastor's talking. But you had to put eggs, you had to put milk, you had to put butter, you had to put salt. Y'all remember those days, ladies? Right? And how many know if you took each ingredient that you put in that cake and you ate it, it would make you sick? You took a stick of butter and you ate a stick of butter. Now, some of y'all do that. I don't understand. Or you took a tablespoon of salt and you ate that. But if you take all those ingredients individually and you mix them up, guess what? You get something that's tasteful. You get something that's awesome. I'm thinking about cake right now. My mouth's watering. But that's how God does. God takes all those things that by themselves are horrible, and he mixes it up in the right way, and he puts it all together, and it turns out to something beautiful. God has a way of turning it around. Our most horrible times is when Jesus shines. Isn't that the truth? You know, you can go through these hard times and understand that God's going to bring a resurrection. You can go through these tough things and understand. And it doesn't matter what the situation, doesn't matter a relationship, whatever it may be. Come on, let's start believing God. Instead of saying and calling those things dead, let's start talking like Jesus and say, you know what, that thing's asleep, but I believe Jesus is going to wake it up. Let's change the way we look at our horrible times and begin to speak into that thing and begin to call Lazarus forth, the thing that we've given up on, the person that we've given up on, situation that we feel like is a hopeless situation. God never ceases to amaze me that the most hurtful, horrendous happenings in my life have turned into the most beautiful thing. I don't know how he does it, but I can tell you this, that while I'm going through those times, it's not pretty. I'm not pretty when I go through horrible times. I wish I had a lot more grace in going through horrible times. But I'm learning to trust him as I go through horrible times. That, you know what, God's got a plan, and it's going to work out according to his will. Jesus specializes in the resurrection. He specializes in bringing dead things back to life. In John 11, 21 through 26, Jesus was talking to Martha. Martha said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. You know what? She was just, this is church speak she's giving. She knew the right words to say, but she just didn't believe that God was going to do it. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said, I know he'll rise again in the resurrection at the last day. She had given up the hope. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? You know what I found out? That even when we've moved on, Jesus decides to move in. I mean, Martha had moved on. Jesus is trying to say, hey, I'm here now on the scene, and I'm about to make something happen. And she's saying, Lord, I know you're going to do it one day. I know that in the last day, you're going to raise him up. Theologically, I know what to say. Isn't that funny that we as church people, we theologically know what the word says? It's just experientially we have a problem. Right? I mean, here's Jesus on the scene. He showed up. He said, I'm here now. I am the resurrection and the life. I'm here to bring Lazarus back from the dead. And she's saying, I know you're going to do it one day. Today is the day. Even when we've moved on, Jesus is on the scene to change things now. Don't be so quick to move on. Don't be so quick to call things dead that Jesus calls asleep. The power of the resurrection, the Spirit of God, the same power that raised Christ from the dead in Romans 8, it says, dwells in you and quickens your mortal body. The Bible, that word quicken means to make alive. The resurrection power of God is here now, today, to make it alive again. Today's your day. If you believe, Jesus said, do you believe? That's the question. I'm the resurrection and the life. Do you believe? Theologically, we believe. But do we really believe that theologically what we know, can it be experienced now? That the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is still alive in us today and can quicken what we're going through right now. He can make dead things come alive. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of the resurrection. Romans 8, 11, the Spirit of Christ, Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you. He who has raised Christ from the dead will also give life or quicken your mortal bodies Because of His Spirit who lives in you. The change agent that God used to change the world. The same Spirit that when God spoke and the Spirit was hovering. The Bible says in Genesis that the Spirit began to hover over the darkness. And God said, let there be, and there was, is the same Spirit that's hovering over your situation right now. The Bible says in Genesis 1 that the Spirit of God began to hover. When the Spirit of God begins to hover over your situation, God's about to say something. And when God says something, everything changes. God never speaks without creating. Do you understand that? That when God sends His Spirit to hover, it's hovering for a reason, because God's about to do something. The same Spirit that was in creation where God said, let us, that's the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, is the same Spirit that lives in you where God can say, let's see what we can do here. Never too late for a turnaround. It ain't over till God says it's over. You've heard it say it ain't over till the fat lady sings. I say it's not over till God says it's over, right? And even when it's over, it ain't over. Come on, because 5 times Lazarus is dead. It's over. Lord, if you'd have been here, he wouldn't have died. He's dead. 4 days, Lord. He's been there 4 days. It stinks. Number three, the third thing you need to understand is that we may have moved on, but Jesus is deciding to move in. He specializes in hopeless situations. He specializes in hopeless situations. Come on, how many of y'all just say, Pastor? I'm feeling this thing right now. Faith's rising up in me. How many of y'all say, I'm ready for Jesus to move into my situation right now? Come on, raise your hand if you want Jesus to move into your situation. He's going to move in today. And guess what? It's all going to change. You may have moved on, but Jesus is just now moving in. Verses 21 through 24, Martha said, Lord, if you'd have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. She had moved on. They're getting ready for a funeral procession. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said, I know he'll rise again in the resurrection at the last day. She didn't get it. Even when we don't get it, guess what? Jesus can make something happen. No comprende on Martha's part. Wrote that in my notes. She didn't understand. I think there's a disconnect in the body of Christ in church today where theologically we agree with something, but in our hearts we've moved on. Where theologically we do believe, but by faith, we don't. Without faith, Hebrews 11:6, it's impossible to please God. Because you must believe that He is, that He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. The disconnect between our theology and our experience is that we don't believe He is. Because if we can't take the step to believe that He is, then we can't receive what He has. Because he must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. If I can't connect to believing in who he is, I can't receive what he has. Come on, that's good preaching right there. We need to move back and understand that it ain't over. Write that in your notes and underline it. It ain't over. And I know that's some slang talk, but we're in Mississippi. It's okay. That's how God talks to me. He does. The other day, I told you, I was praying right there, and I said, Lord, I was thanking him for the church and what God's doing. He said, you ain't seen nothing yet. And I understood loud and clear what God was saying to me. If God can't say ain't to you, you might not be in the right place. Though maybe you are in the right place. You can help my English. We may have moved on, but that's when Jesus decides to move in. Number four, now is the time. Now is the time. You know, Jesus said this. He said, today is the day of salvation in the Gospels. God wants to do something now. God desires to move in your situation now. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life, verse 25 and 26. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? Here's the question. Do you really believe that God is who he says he is and that he can do what he says he's going to do? Do you believe? Today is the day. Now is the time. You're not here by accident today. You came to eat some crawfish, but Jesus had other plans for you. You're going to get to eat crawfish. That's what we call lanyap. There's something more that God desires to do in you today. Now is the time. The power of God is just as strong today as it was the day that Jesus spoke to Lazarus and said, Lazarus, come forth. You know what? There's some Lazaruses. Is that a plural for Lazarus, I guess? There's some Lazari in your life that you need to begin to speak to that have been dead and stinking, and you placed the rock and you sealed it and you said it's over, but God says it ain't over. Now is the time. Jesus wants you to know, I am the resurrection and the life. I'm telling you, Jesus is strategic. There's nothing in this life that's accidental. You're here today because God wants to raise some things. You're here today because God wants to change your situation. You're here today because God wants to call forth your Lazarus. Things that you've given up for, on, moved on. You put it behind you. You think, I guess that's, we'll just chalk it up as a defeat. God says it ain't over. John 11:38. Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. Man, how final can something be? Back in that day, when they buried someone, they put a stone over it, they sealed it, done. Done. Jesus came right to the place where they had said it's over. Jesus spoke to that dead situation. Now was the time. Jesus set up this meeting today for you. Y'all already talked to your Lazarus today. Revelation 3:20, Jesus said, here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. You know, I understand this about the Lord, that God is knocking at the door continually. But a lot of times, we've just grown so used to the knocking that we ignore. Behold, I stand at the door now. He said, I'm ready to do something now. I'm standing at your tomb, the thing that you have relegated dead, the thing that you, quote, moved on from. And you know, Preston talked to me, called me the other day about a great opportunity that God has made for him. You know what? He called forth your Lazarus. There's stories after story of the power of God being loosed in families in this church. The power of the resurrection is happening right now in Life Church. You know why? We believe. We believe. Do you believe? I love the end of this story, that the Bible says that Lazarus came out wrapped up in his grave clothes. Come on. You know what? Grave clothes had become his identity. It became a part of him. He was wrapped up. Could see. You know, when you accept the situation, a lot of times you get so wrapped up, you can't even see. And Jesus had to tell his disciples, take off his grave clothes. That's not who he is anymore. He's not dead anymore. He don't need those clothes anymore. It's a new day. It's a fresh start. It's time for a turnaround. He's not in that tomb anymore. It's time for him to come on out and to live again. Are you ready? Come on, I'm ready. Let's bow our heads today. I have a twofold altar call today. Is there anyone here who would say, Pastor, I am ready to make Jesus Lord of my life. I need a turnaround, but I don't know Jesus. Anyone would say, raise your hand right now and say, I want to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior today. Jesus came to this earth and died on the cross for you. Don't leave out of this place without making a decision to have the ultimate turnaround. Anybody, just raise your hand. Okay, second part is this. How many of y'all have a situation that you've just moved on from, but God's ready to raise from the dead? Come on, anybody? Raise your hand right now. You're ready for a turnaround in a situation, in a circumstance. I got you. Yes, thank you for those hands. Yes, thank you. Now, this is what I want you to do. I want you to begin to speak to that thing. Jesus spoke to Lazarus. He said, Lazarus, come forward. I want you don't have to verbalize it out loud, but I want you in the spirit to begin to speak to it and agree with what God says. I'm going to pray with you while you're agreeing. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you that you are the resurrection and the life. That, Lord God, that no matter what seemingly is dead in our life can't be risen from the dead, because you are the God of the resurrection. That the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in us and makes us alive. And, Lord God, we call forth the power of the Spirit of the resurrection, the Holy Spirit. Lord, I loose it into your people right now, into their situation, into the marriages of this church, into the finances of this church, into the families of this church. Lord God, to those who need a miracle, who need a breakthrough, who need a turnaround, I loose it by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ right now. And we say, Lazarus, come forth. Some of y'all are wrapped up in things right now. I want you to begin to see yourself taking off those grave clothes. Lord, I thank you that we'll never be in that situation again. But from this day forward, we're going to walk in the power of the resurrection. It's a new day. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you today.
You won't relent until you have it all.
Set you as a seal upon my heart, as a seal upon my arm, for there is love that is as strong as death, jealousy demanding as the grave. Many